WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A manhunt continuing for the person who shot and killed activist Charlie Kirk on a Utah college campus this week. Authorities combing over forensic evidence, asking for the public's help.
President Trump hoping Charlie Kirk's killer will be caught soon.
He's an animal, total animal. And hopefully they'll have him and they'll get him. What he did is disgraceful.
Officials also announced they recovered a high-powered rifle wrapped in a towel in the woods and three unspent cartridges that contained wording on them, expressing what law enforcement officials describe as transgender and anti-fascist. Law enforcement has not explained what that means or whether those markings were meant to misdirect investigators.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. Mortgage rates plummeting ahead of an anticipated Federal Reserve rate cut next week. The question is how much interest rates could be sliced. More than 300 South Korean workers detained in an immigration raid. A Hyundai plant in Georgia have been brought back to Korea on a charter plane. This is ABC News.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As I mentioned yesterday, Downton Abbey, the grand finale, opens this weekend and is getting good reviews. And Stephen King's first novel, The Long Walk, has been turned into a film that opens this weekend as well and is pulling a ridiculously high 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not too shabby for a horror film. Another big film opening in wide release is Demon Slayer Infinity Castle, an action fantasy anime film about a boy who joins an organization to track down demons who avenge his sister's transformation into a demon. The film is the final of a trilogy and reviewing incredibly well. If none of these flicks tickles your fancy, check out a couple of cool re-releases. The original Toy Story is back for a theatrical run in semi-wide release and is considered close to a perfect movie. The much older The Sound of Music returns for a limited re-release as well. So many great films, so little time, so let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job, not only just rushing, but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed. So, like, it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get nowhere.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. Wisconsin travels to Tuscaloosa to take on Alabama. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny and warm to finish the work week with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 63. Pretty toasty this weekend, 85 on Saturday, 88 on Sunday. Currently, it's 59.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, federal cuts are threatening food share programs across the country, but one county in Wisconsin is working to keep them alive. Wisconsin Watch journalist Bennett Goldstein is our guest. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Hello, weekend. How are ya? Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report, and I'll tell you what, we've got a beautiful weekend on the way. For those of you that have been a little worried about how dry it might be getting, your rain is in the forecast. We've got a little fog on the way today. Once that burns off, should be a beautiful Friday. Sunshine, daytime highs today right around 82. Then tonight into Saturday morning, chances showers, maybe even a thunderstorm. Overnight lows down to 65 tomorrow. After that, rain moves through. Sunshine returns. High on Saturday around 82. Sunny on Sunday, 85. Sunny on Monday, 84. And Tuesday, here, all everybody's so worried about the heat. Tuesday, we're projecting sunny skies and 85 degrees. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, has your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update on the way. We're also talking this morning about the upcoming hunting season. Not something we talk a lot about in Wisconsin during the summer, but beginning this weekend, we've got hunting activities that will resume. Ben Jarbo's got an update for us on that. And we're also talking about a dust-up between the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection and our livestock marketers, our livestock yards, our livestock haulers, our livestock managers. Some extremely big increases in fees charged by the Department of Agriculture on the way. And that's got the livestock industry in Wisconsin very concerned. I've got that story next.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the Seed Pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel Seed Pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
For over 125 years, Purina has been driven to unlock the greatest potential of every animal. Middleton Farmers Cooperative announces the launch of Purina Animal Feeds and Supplements with an in-store celebration of Purina sales, giveaways, and important information for you to help your animals live a healthy life. Register to win Purina Champion Drive, buy any two bags of Purina, and get the third half off. Spin the wheel of deals for additional savings at Middleton Farmers Co-op.
We want milk fat! We want milk fat!
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
Plenty, plenty, plenty.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
There is a major dust-up brewing this week between Wisconsin's animal markets, animal dealers, and animal truckers, and the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. It is over proposed adjustments to fees being charged by the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture that would raise the cost for certificates of veterinary inspection, disease certifications, and some annual farm registration fees. Many of these fees proposed to double, others triple, several going beyond that. And with relatively little communication directly with the livestock marketers that are going to be impacted. Kurt Larson, president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Cooperative Sales Barns, one of those that would be very negatively impacted.
Yeah, I mean, Pam, when you look at this, you know, you're looking at livestock markets, livestock dealers, livestock truckers, you know, even on the health papers on the Chapter 10 with the veterinarians, you know, all of our revenue comes from the producers that are marketing those livestock. There's not another place we can get this. So when DATCAP comes in and puts these increases on, I mean, that's all going to get passed back to the producers in one form or another. And that's probably what we're the most upset about is, you know, and again, a lot of what they're auditing is identification and traceability and those types of things, which, you know, producers are putting a lot of resources into, you know, getting the correct tags and getting them in the correct animals and, you know, and tracking when they're selling these animals and where they're selling them. And, you know, so the producers are already doing a lot of work and putting a lot of resources into this traceability. And, you know, to be quite honest, it's not really something that is producer driven. It's really more consumer driven. And that's where a lot of the neighboring states have said, hey, you know, this needs to be funded by more than just the producer side, that we need to put some shared funding into this thing to make sure it's successful and we can cover all the work that needs to be done, because it's a big bill to put all on the shoulders of the producers.
Kurt Larson, President CEO of the Equity Livestock Cooperative, along with us. We're talking about some proposed changes to Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection statutes 10 and 12 that basically are designed to facilitate livestock sales in Wisconsin. And where does this process stand, Kurt? You and I are, you've said that you've already had conversations over the summer about this, and now we're getting into a little bit more. This is moving a little bit faster than we might have expected, given the percentage increases that are being proposed.
Right, Pam. So, you know, the briefing document came out the end of May. Unfortunately, DATCAP did not consult with us on this. I actually was approached by some members of the Wisconsin Cattlemen's Association on my thoughts of this at a meeting we were at, and I was not aware of it, and that was later part of June. So we had to do some catch up at that point. It was scheduled to be approved or be presented to the DATCAP board at a July board meeting. They had some technical issues, were not able to act on it then. So it got pushed to an August board meeting. And at that point, obviously we've submitted comment. We addressed the board on our concerns on this. But the board went ahead and took the staff's advice and moved their proposal forward. So we're in the public comment phase. You know, we're encouraging any producers, dealers, truckers, anybody with an interest in this to submit some comments. It's on DATCAP's website. We've got some quite a bit of stuff going up on our website right now. There are some hearing dates for public hearing if somebody wants to go to a public hearing, or I believe the hearings are in person and virtual if somebody wanted to register and jump on virtually to submit their comments instead of providing written comments. So
if this goes into effect, I mean, this is such a big jump. It's hard to even fathom in agriculture this kind of a fee increase. What is your strategy, Kurt? Does this ultimately mean that you may have to close some of the equity yards and obviously some of the smaller dealers perhaps?
It's very possible. You know, you start to look at a, you know, $7,000 a year increase. You know, it gets hard at some of the smaller markets to pass that increase on. You know, we've talked to some of our competitors, and there's some of them saying the same thing, that they may not, you know, they may have to, you know, either close the facility or, you know, go back to one of the changes is there's a Class B livestock market category, and DATCAP is proposing increasing the maximum number of sales from 4 to 12. Some of these individuals are saying, well, maybe they'll go from weekly sales to monthly sales and try to operate as a Class B. Depending on where this all shakes out, you know, we have some discrepancies on that front too. You know, a Class B market that gets an annual audit is proposed to be at $770, and a Class A market that gets a quarterly audit is proposed to be at $7,430. If the difference is a quarterly audit versus an annual audit, you would expect, you know, those those two categories to be, you know, a four, one fourth type relationship and not a 10 times relationship like we see. So, you know, a lot of this just doesn't seem to make sense in our mind as to how they arrived at these and how they're doing this. You know, we did ask to take a look at the frequency, of violations in their audits. And you know, I can share with you, they gave us a 3-year history and the Class A markets, about 10% of the audits, 10% of these quarterly audits they do on the Class A markets, documented at least one violation. And then when we looked at the dealer side, it's a little over 30% of the audits they do on the dealer side documented at least one violation. And remember, the dealer audits are only doing once every 3 years. So, you know, our position is that it's not a real good use of department resources to continue to audit these Class A markets quarterly at a 10% violation rate when you've got, you know, the dealer audit showing a 30% violation rate, but yet you're only auditing them once every 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, we would propose more of an annual audit for everybody, and then try to get those percentages more in line. And, you know, this is something that should be reviewed, you know, every 2, 3, 4 years, whatever they want to do. But, you know, there needs to be an allocation of resources based on risk and violation frequency somewhere along the line. And we just don't see that here.
Kurt Larson, President, CEO of the Equity Livestock Cooperative Sales Association, just one of the impacted parties by these proposed escalated fees requested by the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Now, I visited with Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, on this issue, and you can hear more of my conversation with him, as well as more conversation with Kurt Larson at MidwestFarmReport.com, our podcast playlist. I do want all livestock marketers and those involved in the industry to know that there are hearings that will continue today and hopefully into next week. Find out more on our website or go to equitycoop.com. They've got updated information posted there as well. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a 3-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I'll be on a covert operation. But we've put together a Best of Green Bay show featuring Dan Marcus, Eric Westfall, and Laura McKenna. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
And decided, you know, I probably have to sleep.
That's, I wish I would have had that kind of good discipline. I feel like I need toothpicks to hold my eyelids open this morning. Getting some reports this morning on the talk text line. A lot of fog out there this morning. Our friends over by Walker's Point from West Allis said they got some pretty dense fog. You said it's all along the lakeshore, huh?
It's all along the lakeshore in northeast Wisconsin, a dense fog advisory in effect till 10 a.m. Oh, as far west as Rhinelander, Wausau, Marshfield, Stevens Point, Wautoma, Appleton, everywhere east and north of that, and all along the lakeshore, that dense fog advisory this morning. Low beam headlights, take it easy and just be cool as you're out driving around. Otherwise, we're really in for a very, very fine day. After that morning fog, sunshine will break through again, and we're going to see a great day as temperatures will be on the above normal side. Warmed up to 80 at La Crosse yesterday. I expect to be there and above many places in western Wisconsin today, no doubt about that. Although front is still kind of stationary to our west from North Dakota down to western Iowa into Missouri. The only rain we have to talk about nearby is far northern Minnesota, northeast North Dakota, up across Lake Superior. There's rain this morning. None of that an imminent threat in Wisconsin, but we mentioned it yesterday and I'll see it again quite late tonight, just into tomorrow. There may be a shower or maybe isolated thunderstorm crossing through Wisconsin early tonight in northwest Wisconsin, late tonight, early tomorrow in the southeast. It'll pass east and southeast through the state if we see that precipitation. And otherwise, things sound very fine. Our weekend brightens up Saturday, Sunday, even on toward Monday. Sunshine, nice temps. There'll be 80s across a good part of the state Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That all sounds well and good. I expect that warm weather to stick around for all of next week. And we may not have to talk much about a rain chance again until later in the week in the south. Maybe another chance early in the week in the north. We'll be watching that one wrapping up the weekend. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop. We want the cream of the crop.
There's a buzz on the field tonight. The dairy farming crowd is demanding Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. These fans know that growing Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help farmers reduce ration costs while increasing milk fat content.
The cream of the crop rises to the top.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer. But did you know they also offer competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
This is the sound of corn pests wreaking havoc on your crops. This is the sound of a channel field protected by Bayer's trait technology. With the RNAi technology of SmartStax Pro, the all-in corn rootworm fighter, and VT4 Pro, Bayer's widest spectrum of defense, you can stay one step ahead of ever-changing pest pressure. Find the right corn trait for your fields at channel.com/corn traits. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
You mentioned that moisture. Stu Butch from Alto says they're getting ready to cut corn silage. He says the moisture, because it's been so dry, just about right.
Yeah, I've seen one field opened up here in the neighborhood, and I know others are ready to go. So we're getting to be about that time. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update sounds pretty good if that's your plan. Aside from the dense fog this morning in eastern and northeast Wisconsin, we look forward to more sunshine breaking through today and temps sounding very fine in the upper 70s in the far northwest, low 80s elsewhere. South breezes about 5 to 10. That slight chance of a shower or very isolated thunderstorm early tonight in the far northwest part of the state, late tonight into early tomorrow in the southeast. More clouds with that activity overnight. We may hit upper 50s in the north, low 60s south. Tomorrow, maybe that rain early in the southeast, otherwise brightening up again, upper 70s and low 80s. Sunshine on Sunday, Pam, low and mid 80s. And Monday, more sunshine, back up toward the mid 80s in the south, low 80s north. It sounds like summer weather is going to be around.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take every ounce of it. Good enough, Stu. Enjoy your weekend, buddy. We'll talk on Monday.
You bet. See you then.
Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist with your Compure Financial Ag Weather Update. Compure Financial is your financial partner, whether you're in agriculture or you're looking for that little piece of paradise out in the rural countryside. They can help. Want to find out more? Go to Compure.com on a Friday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Pam Youngke appearance on John and Gordon.
How about breakfast on the farm?
Yeah.
How'd that go?
First of all, thanks to all the volunteers. Thanks to everybody that showed up. They were guessing north of 5,000 people that were there starting at 7 a.m.
Wow.
Got a chance to have a pancake. I looked down to eat my pancake. I looked back up, and all of a sudden there was a swarm of humanity waiting to stream into the machine shed for breakfast. So I thought it was really interesting to see what people are gravitating towards. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously the cows. The cows are the big attraction. Everybody wants to see them and kind of get a little perspective on how big they are.
Yeah.
But it was also cute to see they had three barn kitties, and kids could line up to hold the barn kitties.
Oh.
Now,
oh.
I mean, babies of any kind are cute, yeah. But when you put barn kitties with little kids, it was just, if you want to see the pictures, I've got some up at Midwest Farm Report and Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook. But it was really well done. Third time that the Hinchleys had hosted it. Mm-hmm. So again, like we said, really, really well done for sure.
All right.
That's excellent. You know, Cambridge is quite a nice little town.
It is.
Been through there a number of times.
Yeah. Now, we did talk about the artisan butter last week.
Right.
Well, now let's talk about the food and beverage innovation camp that's going on. Kekoman is putting this in.
Well, they're part of it. So I didn't know that this was going on. If you live or have drive through the Jefferson area. So what they're calling this is a food and beverage innovation campus. And what they're doing, Jefferson County, I don't know if you're aware, is home to quite a few different food companies. Nestle Food is down there. There's a lot of different food-related companies.
Jones,
and now they've decided to try to bring them all together in this food and beverage innovation campus.
Mm-hmm.
Kekoman is the first to financially commit to building their factory there, and that's already underway. According to the economic development people that are connected with it, they said they've already invested about $563 million to create this welcoming area. And one of the reasons why Jefferson is so well suited for this is the workforce. That's something that Jefferson touted for a long time, and they want to continue to bank on that. So this looks like it is very well supported, not only in Jefferson County as far as public monies, but also as far as the agribusinesses and food companies that are interested in coming there. The next phase after they get started with the actual brick and mortar of the food manufacturing side of things, we'll be focusing in on creating the residential element for all the employees that these companies are going to be needing. They said they know that they're out there, but they want to make sure they're close to where they're going to have to work. So that'll be the next phase.
That's great.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. A manhunt continuing for the person who shot and killed activist Charlie Kirk on a Utah college campus this week. Authorities combing over forensic evidence, asking for the public's help.
President Trump hoping Charlie Kirk's killer will be caught soon.
He's an animal, total animal. And hopefully they'll have him and they'll get him. What he did is disgraceful.
Officials also announced they recovered a high-powered rifle wrapped in a towel in the woods and three unspent cartridges that contained wording on them, expressing what law enforcement officials describe as transgender and anti-fascist. Law enforcement has not explained what that means or whether those markings were meant to misdirect investigators.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. Mortgage rates plummeting ahead of an anticipated Federal Reserve rate cut next week. The question is how much interest rates could be sliced. More than 300 South Korean workers detained in an immigration raid at a Hyundai plant in Georgia have been brought back to Korea on a charter plane. This is ABC News.
The Packers now 2-0. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, the Packers beat the Washington Commanders 27-18 thanks to some outstanding play by the Packers defense, safety Xavier McKinney, on how they shut down last year's Rookie of the Year, quarterback Jaden Daniels.
The pass rush was relentless. I think we did a great job not only just rushing but containing him as well. You know, those things, you know, all together helped us because even when sometimes he did get out of the pocket, everybody swarmed. So, like, it really didn't mean much. He didn't really get nowhere.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide. It's the first time ever the two teams have played together in Alabama. Kickoff set for 11 a.m. Danny O'Neill expected to start again at quarterback for the Badgers. Number 19th-ranked Alabama is a 21-point favorite. Baseball tonight in Milwaukee. The Brewers opening a three-game weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Brewers still have the best record in baseball with a 5.5-game lead over the Cubs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Partly sunny and warm to finish the work week with highs in the lower 80s. For tonight, an isolated shower or thunderstorm possible, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low of 63. Pretty toasty this weekend, 85 on Saturday, 88 on Sunday. It's 58 at our studios.
Let's go Brewers!
You can go to the Brewers.
Wait, Todd, what?
It's Free Ticket Friday, Terry. A chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets several times every Friday. Great seats, by the way.
Okay, so download the free Civic Media app, find your local station, and listen for the keyword. Then text it through the app for your chance to win in this statewide contest.
Free Ticket Friday!
On your local Civic Media radio station and the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I love Angela Lang, and I think Dan Schaefer is great. Dan Schaefer could replace me in a heartbeat. Angela Lang could replace me in a heartbeat. There are so many more talented people. I'm the only one willing to get up before 4 a.m. to do this show. You get the guy old enough to have to wake up and pee, and that's the whole business model behind this show. You're welcome, Mr. and Ms. Middle America.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to an interview with Clean Wisconsin's Amy Berrio. She discusses how the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling on a legislative committee's power could affect drinking water in rural communities.
So PFAS are a group of chemicals that are used on everyday products like nonstick cookware. They have tons of uses. They are found everywhere. And some of these are extremely toxic. They've been found to be toxic at very low levels in the parts per trillion. So there are starting to be drinking water standards and water standards for PFAS. PFAS are regulated under the Safe Drinking Water Act. So for municipalities, they are following the current Safe Drinking Water Act standards. But if you live in a community like Peshtigo or Marinette or French Camp or some of these other ones in rural Wisconsin that have experienced extremely high levels of PFAS in their drinking water, they are getting their drinking water from private wells. Those are not governed by the Safe Drinking Water Act. In Wisconsin, groundwater standards, so basically they get their drinking water from the aquifer, it's considered groundwater. Those are the standards that will help folks who are dealing with huge amounts of PFAS contamination in their groundwater, in their drinking water wells. And we don't have groundwater standards for PFAS in Wisconsin. The DNR pursued a groundwater standard. Time ran out on that, and now they're planning to pursue it again. Again, you know, the DNR up until today is thinking, how are we going to get this groundwater standard around these handful of folks at JCRAR? Now that the Supreme Court has made that ruling, we are incredibly hopeful that there will be a standard that gets through finally the rulemaking process. It's still going to take a long time because, again, they have to start all over with this process. It's a meaningful standard, some that are actually at levels that will protect people. Now, with respect to PFAS as a topic, as something that we need to get a hold of in this state and in this country, it is incredibly complex because you have PFAS that are in biosolids that are spread on farm fields. You have PFAS in almost every piece of furniture around us, continually made in consumer products. And the reason why they have the nickname Forever Chemicals is because they don't break down in the environment. So that means they only have a few places to go: in our air, in our water, and in our soil. So these rules are incredibly important to start to at least take care of the urgent problem, like the people in Peshtigo and Marinette and other communities all across the state are facing. But taking care of the fire isn't the same as taking care of the problem. And we've got an enormous problem on our hands with PFAS. It's going to take far beyond any rulemaking to address, considering how pervasive these chemicals are and how harmful they can be.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
The Zone.
Well, in Wisconsin, we are very proud of our cheese heritage, right? America's Dairyland, cheese heads. You saw them on people's heads last night during the Packers' win over the Commanders. But I'll tell you what, our Wisconsin cheesemakers may be facing some unique challenges over the course of the next few months. Stephanie Hoff is on the way with a story about a Monroe cheesemaker that experienced a worker strike. It was over immigration reform and documentation. We're going to find out what that kind of unknown means to some of our Wisconsin cheesemakers and maybe some of our Wisconsin food processors overall. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report on a Friday. I am the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on this, the 12th day of September. On this day back in 1992, the very first African-American woman walked in space. Mae Jemison was her name. She was a physician. She was a mission specialist on Endeavor's second flight. While she was there, she spent 190 hours in space conducting experiments on weightlessness and motion sickness. Mae Jemison, first African-American woman in space on this day back in 1992. On this day in 1892, UW-Madison School of Economics, Political Science, and History opened its doors for the very first time under the leadership and guidance of Professor Richard T. Ely. That was on this day back in 1892. And a quick happy birthday this morning to singer, songwriter, actress Jennifer Hudson, now 44 years young, and now you know. You know the harvest is on the way, and for some Wisconsin farmers, it's already begun with a silage harvest. Helena Agri paying attention to the yields that they're seeing as far as silage is concerned and also taking notes on what we can do better in 2026. Joining me this morning, Dean Ebert. Dino and I caught up this week in Kiel to talk a little bit about some of the early results he's seeing as far as yields on our silage harvest and also some of the really worrying trends that a lot of Wisconsin farmers are facing going into the new calendar year, namely increased costs of inputs. Dino says right now it's really important that you take notes and try to observe a lot of different elements in that field you're harvesting.
I think we got a little fooled this year looking at the weather we had coming up through summer. A lot of growers weren't sure if they were going to invest in the fungicide pass on tassel corn. And as our temperatures dropped and we had cooler nights here coming in late August, early September, we're seeing the heaviest pressure on northern corn leaf blight and a touch of southern rust, which we've talked about for years and never seen. Tar spot showed up about 2 weeks earlier than what we've typically seen in our area. So I'm looking at hybrids, variety. I was in two plots this morning in the Mapleton area. Certain hybrids handled better than others. Our silage acres that got that fungicide pass definitely are seeing the advantage of having extended plant health. So for anyone who did invest that dollar, and it's a tough decision when grain prices are at where they're at, but it's going to pay off this year.
Yeah, you said you could see it right where the line was.
Anywhere the helicopter missed, we can see a touch of southern rust or that northern corn leaf blight mixed with tar spot. It's shutting the plant down fast.
Well, again, note to self. I mean, the fungicide note on next year's plans, but also this is why you're evaluating hybrids now.
You want to look this all over. I mean, now is the time to you, and you want to look at your scorecard. I think we got a nice crop coming. Our low areas didn't flood. We've got one of the nicest crops out there we've seen probably in the last 5-6 years. But still, there are differences hybrid to hybrid, tillage pass to tillage pass, weed control programs. Now is the time when I want to be out there and look and see how we did with the plan that we had in place and what can we change for next year to be better.
Now, what kind of notes do you suggest people really pay attention to, Dean? And then I also know that you've got an agronomy team, plant samples, any of that kind of stuff. You said you're doing some silage chopping to see how that quality is coming through. I mean, those numbers matter.
They're really important. I mean, we're having a burn down day at our West Bend location on Thursday. I mean, the goal, if you're putting up silage, is summer for an upright state of silo, you're looking at a 65 to 68% range. You can go wetter in a bag in a bunker, 70 to 72%. So that whole plant moisture, critical to get it to pack right, ferment right, and give you the best quality feed to get milk. So we're evaluating all that. But when I'm out there, I'm looking at cobs, I'm looking at tip development. Was there shortages of nitrogen? I'm looking for those diseases, hybrid to hybrid. I'm looking at stand counts and looking at weed control. Those are all things that affect the end result with yield. So I make notes, talk to a lot of customers, talk about what did they change with tillage, no-till, cover crops, pre-emerge herbicides, and just, like I said, try to shore things up to be better for next year.
I don't want to bring the elephant into the room, but everybody's thinking it. What do we know about next year, Dean? One of the key components is going to be inputs, particularly fertilizer and some of the elements we need.
I think we're all disappointed to see that fertilizer here for fall is slightly up from last year. You got to remember the U.S. now currently, 10 years ago, we were 20% of the inputs for all crops within the world. We're only 10% now. I mean, we're a big player, but not as big as we used to be. So P and K are up. It appears nitrogen also will be up, unfortunately. So it's just going to put the screws a little tighter to management of knowing where what ground needs to be helped with additional fall fertilizer rotation, what's going to be the best practices for getting manure around or taking out hay ground or evaluating, you know, do we put in wheat or not? And use your consultant. Talk to people. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to people like me that can maybe offer suggestions to kind of fine-tune plans that squeeze every last penny out of every acre.
Well, that's for sure. Thanks, Dean. Dean Ebert, he's in West Bend. Our Helena Agri representative talking about some of the early yields they're seeing in corn silage and also some of the notes you better be taking when it comes to disease. As always, you can find more details at HelenaAgri.com. And a quick reminder that coming up Thursday, September 25th, Steve Bailey, the branch manager in Monroe for Helena Agri, inviting you down to their field event. HelenaAgri.com has details for you.
For far too long, seed discount offers have been too complicated. But today, the seed pros of Channel make our stand. No more confusion. No more long-winded radio ads. Just simple savings. 0% financing with early pay discounts. Today, we show up with an easier way to save on seed. Talk to your Channel seed pro to get all the details and see what you could be saving. Channel. All in. All season.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp, Cleary Building Corp, built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
We want Milton! We want Milton!
There's a full house in the stands tonight, and it sounds like they're demanding higher milk fat and lower feed costs.
Plenty, plenty, plenty.
These fans know that growing Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans for dairy rations can help producers increase milk fat production without increasing feed costs.
For dairy farmers, it's Plenish soybeans for the winning return on investment.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/feedplenish.
Now, here's a story you're only going to find on MidwestFarmReport.com and right here. You probably didn't notice it, but there was a worker strike at a Monroe cheesemaker that happened over the past couple of weeks. And it really highlights a bigger issue regarding immigration that some of Wisconsin agribusiness is facing. That's according to the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association's executive director, John Umhafer. Last month, workers at W&W Dairy went on strike after new ownership required employees at that cheese plant to verify their immigration status through E-Verify. Umhafer explains that E-Verify is a national program required for dairy plants that make products for the government. But he says the situation in Monroe also highlights a bigger issue about American immigration policies, the system, and what it means for the future of food production.
The quick take is that we need a year-round visa program in agriculture. So much of the program was built decades ago on the seasonal picking of crops, produce, you know, in the fields. And we're just decades into needing a more stable year-round visa program. And there are so many details and programs like that that have been put in bill after bill and session after session in Congress and haven't moved. And I have a list of about 10 items that have been in bills that we'd like to see in bills that haven't been able to move in so many years.
John Umhafer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. And although he says that situation in Monroe is unique, he said it also points out how dependent Wisconsin's food industry is on immigrant labor, not just seasonally, but as he says, year round.
You've got the meat industry, the vegetable industry, and dairy industries. All of us need a diverse workforce to put food on America's tables for, you know, for food security. And we need every skilled worker we have to keep dairy growing. And honestly, we need more workers. For decades, we've needed Congress to act and build better pathways for legal immigration into the U.S. When you add to that the ICE raids that you've seen in California in the produce industry, there's a meatpacking raid in Omaha, Nebraska, even a dairy farm in New Mexico. It just adds confusion and concern among the workforce.
Very good points. John Umhafer, executive director of the Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association. Speaking of cheese, that market was under pressure yesterday in Chicago. Barrel cheese on Thursday dropped 4 cents to 163.5. 40-pound block cheese was down 5.25 cents at 162. Double A butter down 3.75 cents to close at 192.75 a pound. This morning in Chicago, looks like the same red ink continues to bleed. October class 3 milk that goes into cheese down 2 at 16.30. November's down 6 at 16.25. Our grain trade also pretty quiet. December corn unchanged right now at 4.20. March corn unchanged at 4.37. November soybeans are down 1.5 cents, currently at 10.32. December wheat's down 1 cent at 5.20. July new crop wheat next year down 1 cent as well at 5.58. Just a quick reminder, Talk Text Line is open to you this morning. If you want to give me your rainfall reports over the weekend, I'll be paying attention. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Maybe you've got a question that we can help answer or something happening in your community we should know about. Best way to contact us, Talk Text Line. 877-301-3276. Ben Jarboe joining us with a hunting update next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
There are so many traditions built around the Wisconsin Badgers, game day and the mascot, which in 1889 was a real badger.
It didn't go well. Eventually, the animal was replaced by a person. An on-campus contest chose the official mascot name Buckingham U. Badger. Still, Wisconsin's official animal is a badger. But do you know which animal almost earned this title instead? Gray squirrel? White-tailed deer? Black bear? The answer is coming up. The original badger's nickname is actually associated with lead miners in the state, not the animals. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like badgers, digging tunnels into the hillsides where they worked. So was there almost another state animal? Yes, the white-tailed deer, which later became the official wildlife animal. But the history surrounding the badgers is a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday brings our Week in Review panel to, you know, review the week, as well as a review of the Packers' performance on a short week against Washington.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Make sure everyone has an enjoyable hunt.
Sure. Well, the biggest real safety risk to bow hunters is the fact that a lot of bow hunting occurs from an elevated platform, you know, which comes in multiple forms of commercially made products and in some cases homemade products. And really it's basic climbing and ladder safety in terms of, you know, the biggest risk is, you know, falls from an elevated platform. And so we emphasize the importance of, you know, maintaining good practices while entering and exiting an elevated stand, and using a rope for bringing up your weapon and or any other heavy gear, you know, that could possibly cause you to, you know, mishandle, you know, climbing or up or down and resulting in a fall. And then the use of commercially available safety harnesses that can, you know, arrest a fall and give you a chance to get yourself squared away. And that really is the biggest issue as it relates to safety during the archery seasons. And another aspect to be aware of just to protect someone, yourself, in case of a situation is to always have a plan to notify someone else when and where you're hunting and when you expect to return, so that if that, you know, doesn't happen and you're, you know, not able to utilize your, you know, cell phone or something like that, you know, somebody knows to alert authorities or come looking for you.
Now, if we move on to a bit more of a, I guess, fun side of deer season here,
yeah,
from last year to this year, what are the deer numbers looking like here in the state of Wisconsin and where it looks to be the more highly concentrated places where people might be wanting to go check out?
Sure. Well, as is always the case, or has been at least for decades, you know, deer densities in terms of animals per square mile is certainly higher in the farmland zones of the state and about the southern two-thirds of the state. Wisconsin's divided up into four deer management zones, two forest zones, the northern forest and the central forest. And then we have a large central farmland zone and the southern farmland zone. The central farmland zone, which goes all the way across the state, right through the middle of it, really is these days what we would call, you know, the deer factory. That's what's generating most of the harvest, and the harvest numbers as measured by, you know, deer killed per square mile. You know, any way you slice it, those are the counties that are generating the most opportunity and the highest harvest. And that's been the case for quite a while. And based on the harvest we saw last year, the eastern counties, essentially from the Fox Valley, you know, if you from Green Bay and then all the way down south to the south central part of the state, last year saw record high buck harvest when all is said and done. And so that would suggest where, deer populations are trending in a direction, that is, increased opportunity. But as is the case in any part of the state, what makes deer hunting interesting and challenging is that deer are not evenly distributed on the landscape. And so even though we may generate a measurement that there's a certain number of deer per square mile in a given county or in a given deer management unit, that's not to say that every single square mile in that area, especially in the farmlands, has a uniform concentration of animals. And so they tend to be really concentrated. And so it does take some degree of scouting and flexibility on the hunter's part and mobility to identify where the deer concentrations may be at any given time and set up their hunting strategy accordingly.
Jeff also wants to remind hunters that forest zones have modified deer management units this year and that they should check the DNR website to make sure they are staying within the regulations. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Online marketplace showcasing products from Kansas farms today on Farm to Fork. The following is a public service announcement from Farm to Fork. As you're listening to this program, a dramatic paring down of 12 regional centers for agricultural safety and health is taking place. These centers rely on funding support from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and that agency's budget is being cut by more than 98%. Several of those centers have endorsed my 2025 Public Service Farm Safety and Health campaign, what you're listening to right now. I consider this a loss to the farming community. And while no money is changing hands, a loss to this campaign as well. These centers provide a valuable service to American farmers, their families, and their workers. If you want to make a case for retaining these centers and the services they provide, get in touch with your elected officials in Washington. If enough of you do, there may be a chance to save these services and save the lives and livelihoods of America's farmers. Shop Kansas Farms started as a Facebook group during the COVID pandemic to connect farmers with consumers, but it grew so fast that the farm family who started the project asked the Kansas Farm Bureau to buy it and take it over, which they did. Spokesperson Kylie Stout.
When we speak with farmers that we work with, their number one challenge is marketing. How can we reach more consumers? How can we do that with minimal effort when they have been working all day, providing labor to create the products or work the cattle? We can provide a bigger outreach that they're not able to do on their own. And we put on directed marketing workshops for them. We try to make sure they have every tool available to them in their toolkit.
Farms across the state of Kansas participate in Shop Kansas Farms. Stout says it's a great alternative to, say, a stand at a farmer's market.
A lot of the farmers that we work with don't want to commit to a weekly farmer's market. They want to be home with their family, makes sense. And so we provide a digital platform for farmers to be able to sell their products 24/7 to consumers.
If it can be raised or produced in Kansas, it's probably sold on the site. It's also led a lot of non-farmers to join the Kansas Farm Bureau. There's more at shopkansasfarms.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
This week, we sit down with Republican Party of Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District Chairman, Ken Sikora.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Hunters, beware what you eat. Wisconsin health officials have issued a new consumption advisory for ducks harvested on Green Bay. Testing shows mallard and wood ducks on the bay are contaminated with toxic PFAS forever chemicals. UW-Madison researchers have linked contamination in the bay to Tyco Fire Products near Marinette. A key research center on the Mississippi River is falling prey to big federal cuts targeting science. The French Island facility, known as an ecosystem research area, produces information on water quality, invasive species, wildlife diseases, and more. Heavy cuts to the program take effect on October 1st and could effectively eliminate more than a century of scientific research. Knowledge is power. Right now on the Defender podcast, $150 million is available to help Wisconsinites upgrade their homes and cut energy use. Learn how to get started at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Police releasing new video that shows the suspect in the Charlie Kirk murder escaping from the roof of a campus building after the shooting. Utah Department of Public Safety Commissioner Bo Mason.
As he did that, he left some palm impressions. There's some smudges, some places we're looking to collect DNA. There's a shoe imprint where we believe the suspect is clearly identified as wearing Converse tennis shoes.
So far, no arrests in the shooting. The U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis placed under lockdown on Thursday. One person hurt, according to the New York Times, a midshipman and mistook an officer for a potential shooter, hit him in the head with a training weapon. They have released photos of the man they think did it, but so far there have been no arrests. Investors are hoping the Fed will use economic news that came down this week to lower interest rates at its meetings next week. 2.7% higher prices than 1 year ago. Applications for unemployment benefits also up. This is ABC News.